Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Percy Kidd joins us from Allen Park, as he does every Friday at this time for the very latest. How's Little Legend doing these days?
Oh, he's doing great. He's on the move. He's trying to get vertical as much as possible, which is terrifying. And he's expanding quickly. So you know what it's like, Doug.
Oh,
and so do you, Gator, having a dog.
Oh, yeah.
How old is Little Legend these days?
He's 10 months old, coming up on 11 months. He was born last October. So he exists in a world where the Lions are only Super Bowl contenders. So, he's a spoiled brat already.
Okay, all right, let's talk injuries. Any updates on any players? A lot of guys limited and some guys not practicing, specifically in the secondary.
Yeah, so Terrion Arnold was back at practice today. That's encouraging. He had missed Wednesday and Thursday just with an illness. So obviously all signs point to him playing on Sunday. Even Aaron Glenn hinted at him covering Marvin Harrison Jr., so I fully expect him to play. Alex Anzalone, who returned yesterday in limited capacity after being in concussion protocol, still is in protocol. The last fifth hurdle for him to clear to exit protocol is to respond favorably to football activity. I think that's what they're testing today. So hard to say on him, probably until tomorrow for sure. Graham Glasgow, who had a rest day Wednesday, is back out there. He's good to go. Full practice participant all week. Same for St. Brown. Melifonwu still has not practiced this week, did not practice today. He might be an IR candidate as this season unfolds, but Dan Campbell did say he's progressing. And Ennis Rakestraw also no practice today after injuring his hamstring in pregame warmups last week. But all told, a pretty encouraging a practice report entering game 3 of the season.
Is there concern through the first couple games here with Terrion Arnold and the pass interference calls, or is this just, hey, look, they're growing pains, it's going to happen, some of it maybe ticky-tack, and others might be just it's a learning program?
Yeah, I don't think there's much concern internally. There might be externally, but I also thought it was interesting something that Carlton Davis told us recently, which is that as a physical kind of press man corner, and he and Arnold both played the same way, in his rookie season, he experienced the same problems, and he would often feel targeted by referees, and then he was a victim of a lot of questionable pass interference calls. He said as that season went on and as his career went on and referees around the league understood how he played, they afforded him more leeway when it came to some contact down the field. Now, Arnold does need to get his head around sooner when he's in coverage and probably needs to be a little bit less handsy down the field. But I think those things will be ironed out as this season progresses.
Dan Campbell spoke today. What's the most interesting thing he had to say?
Well, look, he came in and he was fired up. They had just gone through their walkthrough, and Friday is red zone day. And he said even in the walkthrough, everyone was champing at the bit to get rid of the taste in their mouth from last week when they obviously went 1-for-7 in the red zone. So he was kind of pounding the podium. He was kind of huffing and puffing. These guys are so eager to get to practice today to attack those red zone issues and to hopefully come out on Sunday as a more polished product in the red zone. So that jumped out to me for sure.
He didn't give away what the game plan or tell what they're planning on changing by chance, did he?
No. He was asked over and over again, what do you plan to do on 2nd and 3 from the 18? He just refused to divulge that for some reason. Not entirely sure why. He also noted that this feels like the perfect time for this team to go on the road. He said, there's really nothing better, as great as it is to play in front of, I would argue, the best home field advantage in the NFL. To be in the bunker and you got nothing but each other and probably 20,000 Lions fans on Sunday, but on the sidelines, nothing but each other. That's a real bonding agent for a team, and it feels like the right time for these guys to hit the road and hopefully come back with a win.
People always flip out when you have to take on a quarterback that has the ability to run. It's one thing to be mobile and move around in the pocket, but it's another thing when you can just take off and use a 4.4 speed that you have like Kyler Murray does. How much of a concern do you think that is for the Lions, and how much does the experience of last week taking on Baker Mayfield help them with this week against Kyler Murray?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wary of comparing Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray. I mean, like, Kyler Murray is a legitimate rushing threat. I think Baker does it out of necessity, and he definitely carved him up, in fact, on two snaps in a row to score a touchdown. But the defense's struggles under Aaron Glenn defending mobile quarterbacks are real. And I know it's probably easy to say, well, everyone struggles against mobile quarterbacks, and that's true to an extent. But I want to offer you guys a butt here. I was just looking up some numbers. Justin Fields against the Lions in 22 and 23, four games, 110 rushing yards per game against the Lions. Against everyone else in that span, 56 rushing yards per game, so half as much rushing production. Jalen Hurts against the Lions in 2022, 90 rushing yards. Against everyone else that year, 46 rushing yards, half as much rushing production. Patrick Mahomes last year against the Lions, 45 rushing yards. Against everyone else that year, 22 rushing yards, half as much production. So There is a clear issue with this defense, and you can diagnose it as not wanting to use a quarterback spy, as losing contain, as not being disciplined enough with their rush lanes, but it's real, and on Sunday, they're going to have to overcome it. And for me, it's just about awareness, and as Hutchinson said a number of times this week, rush lane integrity, because the minute you allow Murray to see a crease, he's going to hit it. And right now, he looks a lot like 2018 Heisman Kyler Murray.
So if you were to implement a spy of some sort, who would be the leading candidate to do so?
It's a great question. When Aaron Glenn was asked about that very concept yesterday, he bristled at the notion and basically said, turn on the tape and see what happens when teams try a quarterback spy. I guess Buffalo tried it against Murray to no avail. I don't know who it would be. I assume a linebacker, but that also exposes you to vacancies in the middle of the field if you're going to have one linebacker just locked in on Kyler Murray. I think there are enough playmakers now on this defense where you don't have to do that, and I would be surprised, given Aaron Glenn's response yesterday, if they do.
Well, I'm hoping they can do to him what they did to Baker Mayfield. And like you said, they're different quarterbacks, but if they can hold him to under 200 yards passing and under 50 yards rushing like they did to Baker, that's a win for the defense. And I love with the defense, and especially that you just mentioned, like Terrion Arnold's back, and it sounds like some of the guys are going to be healthy and in uniform. This is a great data point, is whether or not this defense will be better, because Arizona's offense for 2 weeks through the air and on the ground has been great.
Yeah, they've been really good, and obviously a lot of the talk is focused on Kyler Murray. That's going to happen when you post a literally perfect passer rating last week, but I think, as you guys mentioned earlier in the show, they've been just as impressive running the ball, and it's, you know, as much as Kyler Murray's numbers might look like his Heisman campaign at Oklahoma, their usage of him is much different than it was in college and really than it's been in the NFL. You know, it was mostly shotgun in college. It's much more under center, heavy personnel, a lot of play action, a lot of boots, a lot of heavy downhill run game. And he's using that to his advantage when he does throw, especially via play action. This team won't abandon the run, even on passing downs, a little bit like the Lions when they get the ball rolling with Montgomery and Gibbs. And James Conner, man, is a tree. Like, and I'm not talking like a birch tree. I mean, like, he's got some oak to him. He is a maple tree. And defenders bounce off him. So the Lions better come ready to wrap up on Sunday.
Shots fired against birch trees.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I can say I'm part of the family. You know, I am a birch myself, so I'm allowed to make those judgments.
The Lions quarterback, Jared Goff, he's coming under some fire so far for the first couple games of the season, turned the ball over more than people thought he would. He's the quarterback of this team, and not getting the team in the end zone, only one out of seven last week. Have you heard anything about how he has practiced this week and if they kind of fine-tuned some things that they thought were issues?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Yeah, so I actually caught up with Jared after his media scrum on Wednesday, and I just wanted to ask him a little bit more about this idea, this theme that we've heard that he did too much on Sunday in Sunday's loss to the Bucs, because I think all of us saw the same thing, and I just wanted to know from his perspective on what plays, what throws he felt like he did that. And Jared is always accountable. You guys know this, but I think for the first time I heard him like really critical of himself when we were talking. He said two throws stand out. Obviously, the fourth quarter interception when he just flings a back foot pass under pressure. It's really no one in particular that's picked off. Another one to St. Brown down the sideline, I believe, in the second quarter, where again he's under pressure. And in both cases, if he just takes a sack, that's not a bad play. Instead of lofting the ball up, that should be picked or was picked. He said the second pass to St. Brown should have been intercepted. And he said, look, it's dumb. It's really stupid. He said sometimes he's so conscious of not taking sacks, not taking negative plays, that he allows that to override his ball security. And he said that can never happen. That always has to be priority number one. So as far as practicing this week and playing Sunday, I would expect him to place a premium on taking care of the ball. Because, look, guys, Jared Goff, when he plays within himself, is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. I think the numbers back that up. When he tries to play beyond his own capabilities, as he did last Sunday, I think he's more like a bottom-tier quarterback, more like the quarterback the Rams gave up on. When he does not throw a pick, the Lions are 15-5 since 2022. When he does, they're 7-9. If he takes care of the ball on Sunday, this offense should be just fine.
TV's Will Birchfield, catch him on Fox 2 Sportswork and Lions Game Day Live. And, of course, read his stuff at 971theticket.com. Follow him on Twitter at Birchie_Kid. Thank you, Birch Kid. We appreciate it.
You got it, boys. Talk to you next time.
There he is, former Flying Fish member, Will Birchfield.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.